Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. Oh, man, all three of us, we're all here together. Yeah. We've got Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me.
And we've got Venerable Tom. He's back. Venerable
Yes, sir.
Dorian.
Thank you.
Is here waiting on that that miracle to kind of get bumped up to the next level.
Yeah.
And we're hoping and praying.
Thank you.
So it's awesome. Today we're going to talk about dogs.
Why not?
I was trying to just find some kind of nice way to introduce what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about dogs.
Okay.
I'm going to start. And here's what I think about dogs. I love dogs.
Do you have a dog?
No, don't have a dog. I grew up with a dog.
Okay.
Right? We don't have a dog.
One dog.
I've had a dog in my house all my life as a young man. Mm-hmm. And then when I got married, my wife did not want dogs in the house. And I am forever thankful for that. Hi, Bess, by the way. I am forever thankful because we don't have, like, dog hair everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have, like, little discolorations on the floor, like in the corners.
Mm-hmm.
You know what those are.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have those. So that part is good.
Mm-hmm.
I will just say this about animals, mostly about dogs and cats. They're not humans. And we live in a world that wants to give them human attributes.
True.
Right? So that always bothers me. Mm-hmm. And so then when Ziggy reached out and said, hey, I've got this idea for a show. And it's about dogs. And it's about how dogs are stressed. And I'm like, I don't care. But I said, you know what? I'm trying to be a better deacon. I'm trying to be more open.
Dogs are stressed. And, this is going to be good.
Well, that's what he said.
That's all he said. It's
dogs are stressed. And I'm like, so are we really going to do a show of stressed out dogs?
And there are people listening to this right now like, are you kidding me?
Where is this
me?
Going? But when he further explained, I said, okay, well, the moral of the story is a good one.
Okay.
So let's go back to the dogs are stressed thing.
This is not the fourth.
So the end is going to justify the means.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
All right.
So now that I've
teed it up.
Probably successfully, you know, just alienated probably 80% of our audience.
Which those are the cat people.
Yes, exactly. Maybe cats aren't stressed.
No,
they don't care.
They don't.
Cats don't care
no,
about
it's
anything.
Their world. We're living
that's right.
in it.
They'll just sit there and lick their legs and whatever, and like clean themselves all day long.
Yeah.
Okay, so Sam, it's all yours. Stressed dogs.
Okay, so I've got a friend. I had a conversation recently.
Is it an animal friend?
She has an animal friend.
Okay.
She has an animal friend, and she was concerned about certain things that the dog was doing and some of those behaviors that it was exhibiting. And I was reminded of a dog that I had many years ago with my family.
This is a sad story.
No, okay. It's not a sad story. But it does.
Because I'll stop making jokes.
I do think it has a spiritual
and
dimension.
And then he got run over.
We're making our way to it.
That was a great face when you asked that question. I wish everybody could see that.
It's radio, thankfully.
Sorry, Sam. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, it's good.
You got a dog friend.
Yes, but I was relating this to some issues we had with a dog in my family, you know, a couple of decades plus ago. And this dog was, he had features that we didn't realize were dominant features, right? Like he was being dominant. Certain things that he would do as a puppy we thought were cute, like he would walk up and he would put his paw on your knee, and you're like, aw, he wants to shake hands, or
yes,
he wants
that's
to
what
say,
he was
like,
doing.
I'm here. And
you're saying that he was like, I'm in charge.
Yes, yes. Basically, so what, because there was a lot of other things that were going on with our dog, some cute, but then some not so cute, right? And so my family hired this animal behavioralist, and she explained, you know,
this is going worse and worse.
Hey.
This is a dog whisperer, basically,
Yes. Brought in a dog
whisperer. I'm getting to the spiritual dimension.
Okay, Jesus shows up in this story somewhere.
Yes.
I'm certain.
We're going to poke fun at you the whole time.
Exactly. All dogs don't go to heaven.
Keep going.
Okay, go ahead.
So the animal behavioralists explain dogs are pack animals, and somebody has to be in charge. Mm-hmm. And when they're doing things, including like putting their paw on you, what they're actually saying is, I'm in charge. Or, and really it's more of a question, who's in charge? Am I in charge? If I'm the, you know, and because if a somebody has to be in charge, and like when a puppy does that with the mother dog knows exactly how to communicate itself to the puppy to say, no, I'm in charge. And the thing that was interesting is what the, and I think this is where the spiritual dimension comes through. It says like, they're so wound up trying to figure out who's in charge, and if no one is going to communicate that they're in, that someone's in charge, then that means that they, including a puppy, as a puppy, okay, I'm in charge then, and that actually can create a whole lot of anxiety for the dog because someone has to be in charge, and I guess okay, it's going to be me, and it's interesting because as the this behaviorist was like teaching us things like. You know, she called it the alpha role, like putting the dog on his side, to basically get it to submit. One of the things that she showed us is like, look, once you get it into this place of submission, using the same language that a mother dog does with a puppy, the dog actually ends up gives this like sigh of relief, the sigh of, okay, someone else is in charge. I'm not in charge. I don't have to be in charge, right? And so as I was kind of thinking through this, and Tom and I, you and I explored and unpacked a few other ways in which there's some spiritual dimensions to this. But I started thinking as I was reflecting on my conversation with my friend when I was sharing with her about stuff about that dog that we had years ago, that the relief that we can experience in our souls that God desires for us to experience when we... reject self-reliance, right? When we stop trying to be in control and we let God be in control, and you know the moment that can finally let us breathe by putting all of our trust in Him.
So it took a dog to teach you.
It took a dog. I'm sorry, it did.
Now, when you were thinking all about all stuff, did you have your hands up like at your chest? were they like cupped and kind of?
I was on my back as well.
Were you?
Yes.
Looking for a belly rub.
I was looking for a heavenly belly rub.
Yes. Okay. So, we could have started the show without talking about dogs.
Sure.
This is a valid point. I will. I'm going to grant you a valid point. I'm not going to relinquish on the dogs are not humans. However. We do share something with dogs
yes.
in that we are in the animal kingdom. And so there are parts of us, while we spend a lot of time in our lives trying to master those sort of animal tendencies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And God gave us, a human will that is beyond animals,
yes.
All other animals in the animal kingdom. And He gave us, a level of dominion over all animals. On the earth, and so we're special. However, there are traits that will tie us, for lack of a better term, in an animalistic way, at our very base level. Things that we should probably avoid for the most part, but we can also learn from those behaviors. So I will grant you that as human beings we stress out a lot, and I think and what I liked about when you sent. An email saying, hey, I have an idea for a show. I do like the idea because we live in a world right now that is filled with stress.
Yes.
I don't know if you've read the statistics, and I don't want to get into the causes and the reasons for all these things because that might be very divisive in terms of all kinds of stuff. But we live in probably in the most sedated society that we've ever. There's more people who are medicated, more people who are seeking therapy and treatment. And I'm not saying therapy and treatment and medication are bad. I'm not saying that at all. And there's a great need. And medical and behavioral sciences are really excelling in a lot of great ways. But I am going to say that some of that is necessary because it's such a stressful environment.
Yes.
Right? There's a lot of stress going on out there. And some of it might be as simple as what you're saying is like, who's in charge? I will just recognize in my own life that when I don't sleep well, it's because I'm thinking about what's going on the next day or the next week or whatever. And I can lay awake at night and get a terrible night's sleep because I'm trying to run through my head like what I'm going to give in this talk. What am I going to say in this talk? I just did a marriage retreat this last weekend. And I had 5 talks in that marriage retreat, and I'm not the best preparer. I'm one of those people that likes to trust the Holy Spirit. Hey, the bishop laid his hands on my head. Now, I don't do no preparation, and I see all the books that I've read and all the shows that I've watched and all the podcasts I've listened to and all the homilies, all the things that I've received and heard and all the ministry of the church, I see all that as preparation for everything that I do. I really do. It just all goes in there, and then I trust the Holy Spirit to bubble up what needs to happen. But I can stress, like, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? And at some point in time, like, especially in the middle of the night, what I may end up doing, and people may be able to, you know, connect with this, what I end up doing is about an hour, hour and a half of being awake, thinking about what am I going to say in this talk? What am I going to say? How am I going to lead off? How am I going to finish it up? I feel like, you know what, Lord, can you just let me sleep? Just let me sleep, and you take this. Mm-hmm. Like, you drive this, and I'll just trust you, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't mean that you don't have to plan things out, and priests and deacons don't think this means you don't have to plan out your homily. You need to make sure the plane takes off. It can circle one time around, mm-hmm. but it needs to land.
Yes.
Right? We don't want the wandering homilies. But the reality is, if you trust the Holy Spirit knows what needs to be communicated. Yeah. And so that's what ends up happening at something like this married couples retreat I did this last weekend with the five talks. I think it went okay, pretty good. And at the end of the day, it's because I trusted God. But stop stressing, right? Stop holding on and stop thinking you're the one who's going to save the world. We already got one of those, by the way. Have you all met him?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You're looking at me like, who?
No.
Who? Tom's like, who? I want to be part of the conversation. Who is it you're talking about? It's like we don't need to do all the saving. We do need to be part of God's plan of salvation. I think God calls each of us with our charisms, right? Mm-hmm. So Ziggy with his ideas for shows and his thoughts and all the stuff that he does. Tom with his hair, you know, and it's just this. There's great gifts that we each have, but this idea of stressing over stuff, man, because the world we live in is definitely one that's just filled with stress.
Well, and it's one that also really encourages self-reliance. We have a culture of self-reliance, and a lot of the sort of, I guess you could say, the political ideologies that have been, you know, were at the founding of like the American political government and lots of other sort of movements, you could say, both economic and social, are all centered around the individual, you know?
Yeah.
And it's highly individualistic thinking is a very American thing, and it can cause a person to then suddenly put the weight of the world on their shoulders, you know, in order to fix everything, not just for themselves, but for the world. And we're just not equipped to do that. I mean, at the end of the day, we can't even save ourselves, let alone the whole world. I mean, we are natural beings with a supernatural end. Like, we can only be brought to fulfillment by, you know, an effect is always, a cause is always going to be greater than the effect, you know? And so, you know, the cause of us being brought to flourishing is going to be greater than us. It's going to come from above. It's going to come from God by his grace. But we have to stop getting in the way of him and what he's trying to do in our lives and within us and surrender. Because I think there's sort of an inverse relationship that, you know, between how much control we're seeking versus how much grace we're allowing ourselves to receive.
I'm sorry. So from a practical standpoint, what I hear you saying is just be a good parishioner, be a good, I guess, follower. Don't try to armchair quarterback, you know, your bishop, your pastor, all that other kind of, because that's where we are right now as a society. Everybody's armchair quarterbacking everything nonstop.
That's a great point. Yeah. So, I mean, I think on one hand,
be a good puppy.
Yeah. So, right.
Well, back to the dogs.
Yeah.
Back to the dogs.
This show is going to the dogs.
Yeah.
Well, so you bring up a good point, and you know, because at the end of the day, we've got, you know, our own problems, you know, like, so in that moment I was talking more about, you know, the problems in my own life, I need to surrender them to God and to not try to, you know, rely upon myself to fix things, right? But also, if I'm looking in the world, right, I have to recognize that it's not going to be me who's going to fix all that. I'm going to have a part, and we all have our part to play in salvation history, but God, he has instituted a hierarchy. And we have a part as a member of the body of Christ, but also our place in the hierarchy, right? And so, yes, like to build on what you were saying, I mean, at the end of the day, we may look at what folks in the hierarchies above us are doing, whether this is, you know, church, as you mentioned, it can also be work, and it can be politics, it can be a variety of different areas, and, you know, and depending on where we are, you know, like so they're in politics, it's important for a citizen to speak up, and then sometimes in work, there can be invitations for people to give feedback on the workplace and on the environment, and there's certain times in which the church has also extended, you know, to the laity an opportunity to share and voice thoughts. But at the end of the day, we're not, you know, whatever idea we have in our head about how the world around us is supposed to be, whether it's our work, whether it's the government, whether it's church, you know, it's whatever sort of standard of perfection that we might want to imagine in our heads, it's not going to happen that way. Yeah. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day,
yeah, you're not the head of the church.
And even those who
you're
are
the elbow.
Right, and even those who are the head of the church, like the Pope, for example, using the church context, he's the servant of the servants of God, right? And so there, we have this principle of subsidiarity, where even though the vicar of Christ, the apostolic successor to Peter, is also supposed to have a degree of self-control in terms of, even though he has that supreme authority, there's supposed to be a degree of restraint regarding
humility,
of humility, right? And at the end of the and allowing those who are under him in the authority to, you know, sometimes learn through experience, you know, and learn through mistakes. I mean, God created us to be experiential learners and to learn through mistakes. And so if that's how the Pope from above is going to be, then we below, I mean, whatever opinions we might have about how things are going on in the church, the most important thing that we can do is first know where our place is within the church, live that the very best that we can, and pray and fast, you know, and that extends also to work, it extends to family life, it extends to our role in government, you know. Prayer and fasting goes a long way.
Yeah, for ourselves, especially leadership.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and when we're doing that, when we are praying and fasting, we are connecting personally to the big dog, God.
Okay, I see what you did
full
there.
Circle,
maybe
right?
All dogs go to heaven. Maybe, maybe they do.
No, but we do have access to God Himself, but you know. It's our prayer life is going to be pretty limited if all of our prayers to God are, hey, God, this is my way of doing things and how I want the world to fall into line. I mean, ultimately, that doesn't get very far. I mean,
I think most people don't pray that way, though.
Right.
Even I think the stress comes from people not knowing. And because I think most people are not walking through the world going, I'm in charge.
Right.
They don't know who's in charge.
Yes.
Just like. Like your dog story. I hate to say it, but just like the little doggy that comes up there and puts his paw up on the the knee, it's like, who's in charge? And that's not like I'm in charge. It's like, we're just testing the waters. And I think we go through life testing the waters.
Yes.
And it makes us uncertain. It scares us.
Yes.
I read an article about doctors who are prescribing just tons and tons and tons of things that are supposed to help us to just to mellow us out because we just are so stress-filled, but also things like sleep aids, antacids, and very powerful things because we have stomach upset. I remember one time I had a genuine intestinal disturbance, you know, that had to be dealt with in a certain way, and it medicinally had to be taken care of. It came from a leaky appendix. I'm just going to tell you that, so everybody knows. They're not like, "What did he experience?"
Yeah, exactly.
No, but it was a bad situation. But the couple of times that I was going to the hospital because the pain was so intense, you know, I was doubled up on the floor, you know, going, "This is horrible." When you go in there, there's nothing worse than having them. The first two times I went to the hospital, they prescribed Mylanta. You know, the stuff, the antacid stuff that you're supposed to drink and whatever. And they had a prescription strength of it. And they would ask me, like, is there something stressing you right now? Yeah, this stomach pain is stressing me. But they wanted to know because at the end of the day, that was me experiencing the reality that, like, the whole world's got stomach pain and anxiety. And we're in our stomachs in knots, which reminds me of, you know, Our Lady Undoer of Knots. We did a show on on that and how we just get ourselves all knotted up. But really, all that is really just uncertainty. And we'll say that we believe in God. We trust that we believe in God. We tell people we believe in God. And yet, we don't want to give God his due and allow him to sort of make things happen and, or make them not happen. We don't necessarily, we struggle, I'll say it this way, we struggle trusting him, mm-hmm. which means we keep trying to take charge, even if we don't recognize, we're not walking through the world going like, I'm in charge, I am the most important person on the planet. We don't do that.
Well, Tom does.
Well
right, you know what, though? We act like that.
Well, but we act like it because we don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Because we go, somebody's got to be in charge.
Right.
And so we have these people, we call them type A, whatever, we walk into a room and go like, all right, what's going on here? Let me organize this disheveled room. Right. It just is crazy time. Let me just straighten things out for everybody. Because, and that sometimes is a person who is with themselves struggling, like, who's in charge? I need to step up because I cannot live in a world where there's no one in charge.
Right.
And at the end of the day, God is in charge. And we need to remind ourselves that. And that's why it's good, I think, and why I agreed to do the dog show, because it's like at the end of the day, we do need to know that God does have this thing.
And right? there's so much peace there. You know, it's like, so when you tell someone that is that type A person, you know, you're not in charge, dude, back up, that's going to drive them crazy. But what they really don't understand is on the other side, there's peace there.
Wow. And you know what? How many times we hear the church refer to Jesus as the Prince of Peace, right? And we see... peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We hear that every Christmas, right?
Right.
You know, holy, holy, holy. And so we understand all of that, but we don't really live it.
Right.
We know what the word peace means, but so many of us have not experienced peace, mm-hmm. true peace, where it, and really peace is found not in lack of war. And I want lack of war. I want to be clear. I want, you know, world peace. I do. But I want people to be resigned in peace, right? My heart is restless until it rests in thee. I want, like, true peace is not being in charge. It's just allowing it to just, it washes over you.
Right.
Well, so I'm reminded of a couple of things here. One, we've had many discussions on this show about God's permissive will, that he permits things to happen that may not be his active will. But some of them can be very bad things that are just permitting that can bring about a lot of suffering and pain or confusion. And the thing that we have to trust in the end of the day is that God has a perfect plan that takes it all into account, and that he's always, as it says in Romans, he's always at work for our good. He's going to bring about a greater good. And that for, you know, God, does he have the power if he had wanted to create us and just be in complete control of us? Sure. But if he did that, we wouldn't have free wills. We wouldn't have the ability to choose love, to choose freely by his grace to become like him, to truly, you know, fulfill who we were created to be, which is, you know, made in his images, his children. And so the same thing that we use to become like him and become love by his grace is the same thing that we're using to make all kinds of mistakes and all kinds of sins and all kinds of errors. But God, you know, and God took all of that upon himself on the cross, you know,
yeah.
And you know, he took the violence that we as human beings have been choosing and how to use our freedom. He took it all upon himself, and he's inviting us to unite with him there, to trust that behind every cross is followed a resurrection.
Yeah, how many times have we heard the expression, like, let go and let God, right?
Yes.
And that's something we need to do, and we need to realize God is in charge. And I just also want to point out that twice now that Sam, when he has mentioned God, we've had thunder, rundle. We're going through a thunderstorm as we're doing this show. And so twice now God has ratified... Or condemned. I haven't figured it out yet. Ratified.
Could have been lightning trying to make
we're
it
hoping for ratified.
We're leaning ratified. On the ratified. And maybe he really likes dogs, or he doesn't want the dog thing anymore. I don't know. You also mentioned earlier on, you mentioned the word supernatural. And I want to just remind folks that God is supernatural. He's outside of nature. He's in nature. He's out of nature. And we don't always recognize that. We want to be in charge ourselves. We want there to be something that we can see, feel, touch. We want a boss. We want or to be the boss, and we want somebody we can count on. We want to look and see. Okay, it's in. The captain of the ship is there, standing there, you know, at the ship's wheel, and so now I feel comfortable. And we can't always see that in God, and we just need to recognize, because there's a war right now in the world on nature and supernatural. I still remember years ago when one of the politicians, who was it, Rick Santorum, somebody like that, who had mentioned in an interview when he was running for president and mentioned that he believed that there was a devil. And he believed that the devil was at work trying to tear things away.
That was
Rick
him.
Santorum. And they mocked him ceaselessly, endlessly for months. Now, and that's not the reason why he didn't win or whatever, but they just made such fun of it. I'm thinking, like, wow, what is... I mean, it's like the Screwtape Letters are alive and well. Like, God, you know, the devil doesn't exist. You know, convince them I don't exist, and that's how it's going to... that's how we're going to... He's going to win, you know, which he can't win. But we need to recognize that God does exist. God is in charge, and we need to give him more. And if we truly want peace, if we truly want to just be able to, I say enjoy life, but because there's still going to be the suffering and things like that, we just need to relinquish control. Mm-hmm. We need to relinquish control, and I think that's what's going to make life a better thing for each one of us. I think that where we struggle so much is trying to take control of things, and we just need to realize that God is in charge. We don't need to live a stress-filled life. We need to live a life of peace and a life of love and a life with God. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.